Good morning to everyone and those that are sick. Good morning as well. I am thankful to be able to be here, to make it here. I have to admit that last night and the amount of sleep that I got was probably the most amount of sleep I got in a couple weeks. And usually 9 hours of sleep is impossible for me. And I think I got 9.5 hours of sleep, which is amazing. I never sleep that long. I usually sleep like 7 hours and I'm up and at it and feeling pretty lively, unlike today. it really is a blessing to be able to do the work of the Lord. And camp was, it was so fun. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to see the little ones and what they have to look forward to. And how much they look forward to it to be able to do this camp. You see, it's just, you know, it's just, man, it wears me out. It's full of energy. I wish I could tap into that and use that as a resource every day of my life. But, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be able to do the drive, put on the miles, do the time, and to teach the classes, to continue to have your energy levels up for the youth. And try to keep up with them and join in all the activities that happen throughout the camp and try to do that with about, I think we average probably maybe 4 to 4.5 hours of sleep per night. And by the term sleep, I use that loosely because those beds are probably the worst beds I ever slept on. I could not get comfortable for the life of me. And on some couple of the nights, we're getting up at 5:45 in the morning to do our morning meeting. I like to get up a little early to help out, to get the kitchen prepared, to get the coffee going. And there was a couple nights where I didn't get to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. It was a struggle. I was on the struggle bus a lot, but you know, it's kind of interesting how God gives you strength in your weaknesses and helps you be able to overcome those things. And I just can't say it enough of, you know, the awesomeness that God is in our life, how he cares for all of us, tends to all of our needs. And one of the things is just, it's really neat to be able to see all the kids. It's neat and difficult to see all the campers. I call them kids. They're kids to me, but it's awesome, and it's difficult to see how they grow up and how they change. And I mean, this isn't just, you know, in their spiritual lives, which is what we're trying to accomplish, but physically too. I mean, you go to camp 1 year and then you come back the next and you're like, who are you people? Because they grow so fast. I saw, you know, got to see so many people that we haven't seen for a long time as well show up to camp and drop off their kids. I got to see Justin Bartlett. That was awesome. I got to see Brian, say hi to him. That was awesome. And even like just seeing Joshua, Holly's son, how much he's grown. Just like it's unbelievable. The kid, I think, was wearing size 14 or 15 shoes. And, you know, just a couple years ago, he was probably wearing size 7 or 6, I'd imagine. It's just really neat to be able to see everybody and to support them. And, you know, just like everyone else, there are struggles that people deal with, especially at this young age and the transitioning into adulthood. And so it's even that much more important for us to be there, to be able to support them and encourage them that God is there with you through everything. And it's challenging at times. It weighs on your heart because we only have 1 week out of the year to be able to come and to influence and to bring the Spirit and try to plant the seeds. And you don't know what some of these individuals, these young men and women, are walking back into in their lives. And, you know, we hope for the best. We encourage them to come back and to continue on, to let God be in their lives, to call out upon him and in their time of need. And I know that God is good and that he does so. And so you could see as we wrap up camp, it's new friendships new encouragement, new attitudes, change of outlooks on life, and how to have God in there and to be there for them is something that I'll continue to pray for throughout the year. And it's interesting because our last meeting of the camp, it's Bob and Liza, I bless their hearts for all the work that they put into it. It's a lot of work, but you know, we're already talking about when we're going to start camp next year. And it's like, well, that'll be here tomorrow. It goes by that quick, and so does life. But you know, I truly am thankful for how God gives us the opportunities to be able to grow and to age and to be able to walk this journey together and to show people the way. And it's not just something for camp, it's something in our everyday life. You know, these experiences that we have, we're walking through this life, and I know that God gives us that light to be, and we just need to continue to have that desire to be enthusiastic and to encourage others to seek after the Lord. And you know, things always change. We always change. And that's one thing, is we always learn. We always continue to have the support and to be uplifted by the Spirit. And I was truly uplifted by the Spirit with this camp, and continue to be encouraged by the Lord to do what I can wherever I'm at. And that's one of the things. You know, we go to these faraway places. I have the utmost respect for our ministry as they travel and do these things throughout the world, because you know, you're putting, I really feel sorry for Aaron. Boy, he got a heavy load this year, and you know, but he rose to the calling of what needed to be done. And I find a new appreciation for that time and time again, that whatever the Lord needs, that we have the capability to be able to do that, to be successful. And it's interesting to see how it can transform you and to give you a better perspective and understanding of what other people are going through. You know, we travel within this nation, traveling outside of this country and going to foreign lands. You know, that weighs a heavy burden in itself. But, you know, when you're teaching multiple classes a day and you're thinking and these things are weighing upon your heart, this brings a new level of exhaustion to you. But again, as you see and you look into the eyes of those that you're reaching out to, that's where the reward's at. That's where we get our energy from. And it's because you see that people need the gospel in their lives. They need Christ in their lives. It's huge what people feel when they have the Lord's Spirit touch them. When you see that it's working in them, when you see that they are hungry, when you see that they're thirsty, you see how the Lord is reaching out to people. And it just truly encourages me. And I'm thankful that we had the opportunity to be able to serve. We teach, like I was saying, I had three classes a day, but there's others that, you know, this is their lifelong journey. This is what God calls them to do. And we had a serious campfire, and we had wonderful testimonies, and you know, it's really amazing to see the youth, the young men and women stand up and glorify their God. It's really amazing to see a testimony from a sister that admitted that a young man has never, where they live, said a prayer. And I had a young man in my class. I was really impressed because this young man, when he first started to come to camp, he was in a clamshell, locked up tight. And I had my age class, and this young man, very attentive this year. And he's one of those that typically in the previous years, you just see he's not giving an inch. He's not budging. And he's locked up tight, and he's not opening in his heart. But this year, he came out of that, he put the walls down and came out of that shell. And he was reading scriptures, and on Wednesday night, he raised his hand, because we kind of make it, we encourage them to participate in the class, to say an opening and a closing prayer, to read scriptures that brings the Spirit, and there's actually Spirit Awards, which are really cool in itself, yeah. And, It's interesting to see somebody come out of their shell and actually raise their hand and say, hey, I'd like to say the closing prayer. And this is very difficult for some of them because they've never had this before in their lives. And one of the ladies that was at camp in the area of which this young individual lives said, he has never said a prayer before in his life. And it just made my heart full of joy because, like, I glorify God for what he can do and how he can change young men and young women and help them be able to see and understand that, you know, there is such a blessing when we open our heart to God and when we allow him to work within us. We start seeing all the things that God wants us to see and start doing those things that help us be able to become stronger in this world in which we live in, to be a part of something greater than something society in itself can offer. There are so many good things, blessings upon blessings that come with a servitude towards the Lord. And I have up here Redemption Through Christ. And I know that there was very few people here this morning at the Sunday school, and Alicia was kind of, she was telling me that Jared was saying it was a free-for-all, and I said, well, I'm going to come too, and if there's hardly any people, it's going to be a free-for-all as well. But there's plenty of people here, and I was going to say that Christ's love is free-for-all. And I can stand up here during the whole entire service and talk about all the blessings that came with camp. But I want everyone to, and I challenge everyone to, take this mentality of, and that's what I was telling the campers, is to try the reins. Look at your situations that you're in, your environment that you're in, and apply these principles intentionally. Be proactive in sharing the gospel in your lives. We go there with a mindset. We have our theme, our scripture verses, our theme verses for the camp. And we go there with an intention. We're being proactive to be able to share particular aspects of the gospel so they can learn kind of intensely about all the dynamics that come with a few verses of the gospel that apply to the love of Christ. But again, that's a free for all. That's free for everybody. But just like this young man, we have to open our hearts to allow that in. We have to let Christ lead us and guide us. And there's no other way for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of God unless we understand the redemption through Christ. That's the process. And that's this is actually going to be aligned with the theme of our camp. I think this is good for all of us to be able to go back and to understand the purpose of what was designed for us through God's grace to be able to be redeemed for all of those things in which we did, the sins that we committed, how we have redemption through Christ because of that. And, you know, we started off in our class. I was buddied up with Kevin and McGee, and, you know, we do morning devotions, and there's a portion I always get a kick out of, and I did it with him one year. It's dad jokes for the entire camp, and Kevin has a lightheartedness like myself. We're goofy in our own little ways, and it was a pleasure to be able to work with him and to be able to go over our material and to be able to understand, you know, how are we, what's our objective, what's the premise, how are we going to go about given an understanding of our portion of the theme verse. And, you know, working with Kevin is really neat because he's got a good sense of humor and he's got a lot of good ideas. And I was a little bit nervous at first because, you know, we got two individuals that live over 1,000 miles away from each other. And, you know, we got to come together and we're going to do this together. And, you know, we kind of know each other a little bit from over the years, but I really, really do appreciate, and this goes for all the camp, all of our reunions. This is one thing that I've always noticed with Gospel Ties is the kinship that you have with brothers and sisters wherever you go. You know, I I'll admit, I haven't seen Justin Bartlett in, gosh, it's been a decade, maybe more. And he came and he was bringing the trailer for Holly and got to visit with him that night. And then he stayed, and then in the morning got to visit with him as well. But, you know, greeting each other with open arms, with smiles and hugs and, hey, how you doing? Life is busy. You know, that's one of the things I think everybody has in common is the understanding that life is busy. And whoever we take care of, whatever we're doing, whoever we support, you know, it's a common thread that we all have. And there's an understanding in that, but a continued encouragement to allow God in your life and make that the priority. That's the continued encouragement. And, you know, we can get caught up in all those things in the world, our jobs and our school, but, you know, if we apply God in our lives, then we have this awesome gift that was given to us, and it's to be able to spend eternally with Him and His Father in heaven. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is this redemption through Christ. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to express is that, and I started off saying that none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We have making mistakes. We continue to make mistakes each and every day of our lives. But this plan of redemption through God's grace is a gift that is given to mankind. And it's not something that we try to pay for. This isn't something that's done through working hard in our temporal life. This is something that is given to us from God through His goodness, through His proactive plan since the start of time. And this is something that isn't just for specific individuals in the world that are in something such as you don't have a membership or you're not paying for admission. This is something for all humanity that was from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, when everything is going to come back to God in its entirety. I wanted to read in Romans chapter 11, just one verse to get us started. It's verse 36. It's, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And, you know, this life in which we live and which I sin in each and every day, that this plan of redemption is for not only myself, but it's to help me be able to have hope and to be able to see that this gap that has been there between me and God can be filled, and that's through Christ. And to be redeemed to something is something in our temporal world we can do from another friend, a family member, a brother, a sister. And, you know, if something happens, unfortunately, if we break the laws of the land, whatever the case may be, if I was to go out, and that's one of the things, you got to watch your driving when you're traveling long distances. And, you know, time is of the essence, and you're, you know, pushing the limits a little bit. You know, there's speed limit signs in life for a reason. And fortunately for us, we didn't get caught up in anything where we got pulled over and got a speeding ticket. But I know that we all experience speeding tickets in our life. Hopefully not, but it's just a part of life that we deal with as well. And it's one of those things, you know, you could redeem yourself from a speeding ticket. You know, if you're in a hurry and time's against you, you kind of push those boundaries. And if you unfortunately get pulled over for exceeding the law of the land and receive that piece of paper that tells you you violated that law and you need to pay for playing, and or you can see the judge, well, there's another avenue for people to be able to redeem themselves. And it's one of those things to where you can take a class, and typically I haven't gotten a speeding ticket, oh gosh, in so long. But I know that there's classes available, and I think it's 3 points against your license, depending on the amount of speed that you exceed. And you can actually take a class in your driver's license. You can redeem yourself of having those points applied on your record for exceeding and breaking the law in speeding. And, you know, it comes at a little bit of a cost, but you can redeem yourself of that. And I was looking through the gospel and trying to figure out, well, you know, is there other examples of redemption in the gospel? And there is. And as I was kind of looking into it, there was the opportunity. So in old times, prior to Christ, we know that, there was slavery, and there was people that couldn't afford to sustain themselves in life. And so they would sell themselves into slavery. Well, those individuals that sold themselves into slavery, they could be redeemed if they had family members or loved ones that wanted them to no longer be held under a master and in slavery. They could pay that master off to be able to redeem them from that bond in which they had. And in the law of Moses, there was also the year of Jubilee. So every 7 years, they would have the year of Jubilee, where every master had to give the option to their slaves to be able to be freed or to continue along with their master. And that was a time where people could be redeemed of their services. The Lord put that in place for mankind. And that's found in Leviticus chapter 25, this ability for them to be able to get out of bondage and to be redeemed of their slavery. And, you know, we know that the law of Moses has subsided when Christ came. He fulfilled all of that. And now we have that ability to be redeemed through Christ. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And so the verses that... The verses that were given to us for the theme camp is in Omni 1, 46 and 47. And it says here, "And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying and endure to the end. As the Lord liveth, you will be saved." And it was really neat because the shirts for our theme camp, I should have wore that shirt today. I should have wore that shirt. That would have been fun. But our shirt was a flag that said "Endure" on it. And this is one of the responsibilities that we have. And, you know, it's sometimes it's very difficult to endure, endure all the things that we're going through. It wears on us. It grinds on us. And it changes our perspective on life when we're frustrated, when we're weary, and when we're tired. But this here, you know, if we partake of the salvation that is through Christ, there's a power in that redemption that keeps us revived, that keeps us moving forward, pressing forward, because we know what the goal is. That's the objective in our lives, is to be able to keep our eye focused on the goal, which is to be and to live in eternity with our Father and His Son and in their glory. You know, this is something that's available for everybody to partake of. And I am humbled by how the Lord impresses His Spirit upon us to help us be able to see that. You know, there's so many things that the Lord wants us to see. And at times it could be difficult. It could be very, very difficult to be able to see how the Lord wants things done in our life. But if we really have a calmness, a spiritual calmness in our heart, the Lord helps us be able to see that. And it helps us be able to know that we can continue in fasting and praying and offer our servitude to Him, that He is the one that actually helps us endure to the end, because that is given to us through the power of God, through the power that we, through the Spirit, through the power of Christ, that He gives us the ability to be able to overcome, just like His Son overcame death to redeem us of our sins. And I think about, and I was sharing about all the issues I had before I came to the church, and the struggles I was having in my heart, in my mind, and how just a little event in my life changed the entirety of the course of my journey to help me be able to endure. And that's where it all started, when Alicia was introduced to me, and Christ utilized her as a little light in my life. And it was really neat too, because, you know, I got to, you guys remember the awesome jacket that I had with all the lights on it? I got to be able to share that at the campfire. So on top of all the classes we teach, the cabins that some individuals have, we also have a campfire where we give a sermonette for these young individuals. And I think it was Liza came up to me, and it was Liza or Bob, and asked me, hey, did you do the Sirius campfire, which is on Thursday night last year? And in my mind, I know I'm getting old, I thought it was me, but it was Kevin, but that put me off the schedule for that Thursday night because they were looking for somebody else, since I thought I did it last year. Well, at the same time, Cynthia, she came up to me, Cynthia Lawrence, and she was like, hey, Gary, can you do the Sirius campfire, the Sirius portion of the campfire, Tuesday night? Which on Tuesday, the theme, we have a specific theme for a given day as well. It was Let Your Light Shine. And I was like, wow, this is crazy, because I saw that flyer. So they put out a flyer for the Tuesday that day was dedicated to Let Your Light Shine, glow sticks, whatever you want, bright colors, things that you wanted to wear. And so when Cynthia asked me that, I was like, this is like the Lord is lined up all the planets to make it to where I, because when I was here, I was like, well, I'll just bring this jacket for that day and I'll wear it that night. You know, the kids play around after the Sirius campfire, it's dark, and I'll run around and goof around with them with my silly jacket on. But Cynthia asked me that, and I was like, well, it was meant to be. I have to do this now, because the Lord, you know, he put everything together. I've been holding on to this silly jacket, and I used it once here, and I was like, well, I'll never have the opportunity to use this jacket again. And sure enough, the planets aligned, the Lord put it in place, and so I got to be able to express the light of Christ at that campfire. But one of the things that I did is, you know, those little teacup candles, it's like just a little tiny candle you put under, tea light candle or whatever it's called. I bought one of those and I started off and put it on a little chair, and I had Rusty Granger turn off all the lights, and I bought glow sticks for everybody. So I bought a pack of 100 glow sticks. So Amanda and Cynthia and some other folks were handing those out. The kids were cracking them. And I was like, yeah, kids, that's what it kind of sounds like. I was thinking to myself, that's what it kind of sounds like when I get out of bed every morning here at camp, all this cracking going on. And I was just kind of laughing within myself. But I put that little tea light candle on the chair there, and I lit it with all the lights off, and I started singing This Little Light of Mine. And it was just supposed to be a joke, but everybody started joining in. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so it was really neat, because just the mentality of the participation of the youth, wanting to be a part of that service, and just the energy that was there was awesome. So I talked about the light of Christ, and I gave that testimony of how the Lord brought a little light into my light, and how it just kind of grew and grew. And so everybody had glow sticks, and it came to the point to where at the end, you know, this light, it just opens us up. And I went, there's a little battery pack that's in the pocket, and I, at the given moment, I turned on the jacket, and it like turned on, and then it turned off instantly. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I've been waiting all this time to turn on, and it was like the perfect moment. And then it turned on and shut off. And I was like, oh, great. And so I'm like starting to shake and get all that. Hey, everybody, just hang on. And Brooke had to come up, and she's like, Dad, you're shaking like really bad. And I was just like, yeah, I'm all flustered, but such is life. We'll get it plugged in. I plugged it back in, turned it on, and everybody was like, yeah, you know, it was really a neat moment. And then I think it was Adam Aaron who yelled. So, like, the Lord gets you to do crazy things too, like, because you're just in the moment. Was it Adam that said, hey, do the robot? Yeah, so Adam yells out, do the robot. So, of course, you know, I'm with all the youth. I am not going to not do this. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So if you would have been there, you would have got to see me do the robot, which, from what I understand, was pretty good. Pretty good. The hinges needed a little bit of oil because of my age and all that, but it was a little rusty, but everybody got a key. Oh, great. So there's a video. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Yeah. So, oh, Zane's got it. Oh, he's going to start sending it. Be careful, because Zane will. You give him his number and he'll send it to you. But it was just one of those things where God opens your heart in times where you know that he's brought you to a place that is really good. And it typically starts off just from a little light, a little light that was brought in your life. And he can take you to places to where you see things and you're a part of things that provides such a light to others. And it helps you be able to change and grow inside. And so, you know, this was all brought about because, just like it says, this light that was in my life, I was in darkness, and then I was in light. And it just is something that is really, when we go through things, we see how God's plan is working in all of us. And I wanted to read this in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all a part of this. We're all in it together. We've all made mistakes and sinned in our lives. And the neat thing about this is that this is this plan of redemption. You know, I really came to the understanding of how awesome God is and how he works in our life. And to know that this was something that was instituted, that was proactive, that God designed since the foundation of the world and its creation. He knew all this was going to unfold. You know, and without Christ, we're left in a state of hopelessness. There's no avenue other than Christ that we have, and we're not able to save ourselves to get into the kingdom of God. And Christ is this bridge between this gap between us and his Father. And you know, this is something that we pay the penalties of the things that we do wrong in our lives. And you know, life itself has avenues for us to be able to redeem ourselves. But this spiritual death that can occur is very dangerous within our lives. And we have to rely upon Christ to be able to see those things that we're doing and to understand that we go through him to be reconciled for those mistakes. He redeems all those things that were broken. It was really neat to be able to see our second day of camp, which is Monday. Bob and Joel come together. We bring everybody together in the tabernacle, and they kind of walk us through this whole process of the verses that are the theme of the camp. And they actually, then they break it down, and we break the scriptures down, and we dive a little bit more into it each day. But that day, they use Connor as an example of how things begun. And it was really pretty neat because we have a canteen, and then some of the campers, if they do really good, they get a ticket to be able to get a free item from the canteen. And so they asked Connor to be the participant in their activity to demonstrate how this all began. And we know that's unfolding in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit. And Joel went up to Connor because, hey, Connor, you like apples, right? Yeah, I love apples. And he's like, hey, how about if I give you this apple and you eat it? If you can eat this apple, I'll give you 3 tickets to the canteen to be able to redeem for good items and goodies. And he was like, yeah, okay. And so he started eating the apple, and he was sitting in a chair with arms on it. And they just slowly, like, tied his hands and his ankles to the chair with a paracord. And then it was rope. And then Joel's dragging these chains out of the back of the tabernacle, and they wrapped them all in chains. And then he gets these handcuffs. He starts handcuffing them. So Connor's like, what in the world's going on? And they're walking through it. Well, annoyingly, the point was that, you know, we partake of these things and we don't realize, you know, the repercussions of our actions until later on. And it seems all good and is great and we're loving it at the time. But as time goes on, these things cause us to be bound and we cannot escape. And that's that spiritual death in which we deal with. But we know that God has chosen all of us to be able to provide this opportunity to be able to be redeemed of those things, because it was of his good pleasure that he did so. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 6 that it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I know in this day, you know, even in specific groups, work environments, a lot of times we feel like the oddball out, that we don't feel accepted. And it can be because of our Christian beliefs. You know, it's a type of persecution. But one of the things I appreciate is how God is always proactive and not reactive to those things. A lot of times we're reactive to the situation that we're in, but we could be proactive going into any given situation, knowing that Christ was there according to his good will since the beginning of creation, that there is a plan and a power through his redemption. And so one of the things that I know can be difficult for us is a lot of times we feel as if we've been abandoned by everybody in our lives. But one of the things I want to encourage is that Christ is always there. God is always there. His Spirit's always there. It never leaves us. No matter how isolated or abandoned we feel, that God is always working in our hearts. And that's a little light that's always, no matter how dark and long the tunnel is, there's always a light in it. And that's that little light of Christ, you know, and it's up to us to be able to continuously go towards that little light. And that light grows and grows and grows. And all of a sudden that light is within us. And then we let that light shine to others. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that this power of redemption is there for us because God chose us. We were predestinated in his plan to be able to have this avenue to where we could close that gap between ourselves and God, and that's through his Son. And a lot of times we feel as if we can't see that, but we really need to open our eyes to let the light in. We have to see the light that God gives us in our lives. And so we need to be redeemed. And why do we need to be redeemed? Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so we know that who we are and what we do sometimes isn't pleasing in the eyes of God. But we know that this is something that God, when he's in us, he helps us be able to see and to renew ourselves and to be redeemed of those things that we have done according to the passions of our flesh. And so there can be this spiritual death. And that's one of the things I wanted to explain to these campers, is that over time, if we continue to see and ignore and decide to do what our natural desire is through our human nature, that these things can cause the spiritual death. You know, it kind of leads to, you know, a spiritual little wound or a little sickness, and we know that that can grow, can become like an infection within ourselves, or like a cancer that's eating us up from the inside out. Could be damaging in all sorts of ways. That could be damaging to our relationships, to our friendships, to our brothers and sisters, to the church itself. It could be damaging to the gospel, the work of the gospel. If we have these things inside of us that aren't pleasing in God's sight, that we're doing, that we're fulfilling the flesh, that aren't bearing good fruit for the Lord. And this can ultimately lead to death and sin. And we need to understand that, you know, I was thinking about this, and it's impossible that if I was to physically die right here, for me to bring myself back to life. I can't do that. Once I flatline, I'm done. I'm gone. I cannot bring myself back to life. I could have a brother and sister that can run over here and get that awesome AED on the wall and light me up with the lightning that's in it and revive me. You know, that's possible. But when it comes to a spiritual death, there's no way that a brother and sister can revive me. It's only through the redemption of Christ that that can be done. We have to understand that He's the one that does all this. And this is something that God provided. Brothers and sisters can pray for each other. They can admonish, edify, and help. But internally and spiritually, within our journey, we have to have this awesome relationship with God. And through Christ, ask Him to be redeemed from these spiritual deaths that we can encounter in our life. And even if we're wounded and we're going on, even if we're a little bit sick from the things that we're doing, you know, Christ is the avenue in which we can find the way to be able to heal ourselves and to be redeemed of those things in which we did. And that's one thing I found out that's so awesome about the body, is all of us can be little lights to help us, no matter how dark it is, see the way back to redemption through Christ. It's a wonderful thing that has been given to us since the beginning of the time. Mosiah chapter 8, verse 53 says, "For it were not for the redemption which He hath made for His people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all of mankind must have perished. Sorry. And that's because, you know, this is God's grace gift that He has given to us, that all of our burdens, all of our spiritual sickness, all the wounds that we implement onto ourselves because of us, our own doings that aren't pleasing to God, Christ took all those things upon Him for us because of His love. And so that's the price. That's the price that was paid to redeem us. And it's an amazing thing, like, you know, I was just talking to Alicia about the prices of houses in St. Joseph and how great it would be to be able to, you know, just get a house, have some land, raise some chickens, grow a garden, all this good stuff, you know. But there's a price in that. But there's this price for the things and decisions that we do spiritually that money can't buy, that it can't make it right in your life. It's only through Christ that can do it. Just as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the ultimate price that was paid for us to be redeemed from those things that we committed that fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, we know Christ, one of the things that He was called was the suffering servant. He did this and He served all of mankind and took Him upon Him all those things that we do wrong because of His love. As it says in Mosiah 8:18, it says, and it also says this in Isaiah, but 53, But in Mosiah 8:18, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And, you know, this is something that when we come to the realization, all that Christ has done, that there's nothing that I can do to repay him for what he did. And that's where, one of the individuals at the camp, I'm not going to say any names because some of it's personal and it's difficult for them. And life, it's beyond interesting. It's very peculiar how God brings people together and to be able to share their experiences no matter where they're at. One of my classes, we had individuals from New York, Canada, Honduras, Arizona, Missouri. And one of the things I was explaining is, do you think it's just coincidence that God brought all these people together to this one place to be able to learn about his son and what was given for each and every one of us? And you see their eyes open and like, wow, you know, a lot of things that young people don't do is consider the awesomeness and the abilities that God has, how he does invisible things. It's kind of like I was telling them, you know, there's a lot going on to be able to have this camp provided for everybody. It's the things that are going on behind the scenes that make this possible. And it looks like it's all just easy and a walk in a park, but there's a lot of work that has gone into it. And God is doing things that we don't typically see that are going on behind the scenes spiritually to bring us all together. To be able to see those things that God is doing is a wonderful thing. And part of the camp as well is being able to help kids see the way. And, you know, God provides wonderful experiences for all the youth at the camp. We actually got to see Rylan, a brother, enter into the waters of baptism. And that is a part of that redemption process. And, you know, that opens up. We were saying, man, this would have been really neat. We should have did the baptism. Well, it all unfolded according to God's plan. So it was later on in the camp that we got to witness this baptism. And I know it opened the eyes and the doors and the hearts of some of these. You've seen the Spirit working upon the hearts of individuals that attended that baptism. It was really neat. And how there was individuals that actually, it almost, I knew it, the Spirit overcame them. And they saw this. And it touched them. And you seen tears pouring out of eyes. And these are young individuals with a lot of testosterone and emotions, but it's different when it's the Lord's Spirit. It's completely different. And so I was thankful for that. And all of us, a lot of us here, have been changed because we decided to enter into the waters to be able to start that bridging of the gap of our lives, our journey, our spiritual journey with Christ. And it's done so. It says in Colossians 2, 12 through 15, it says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And have spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." And you know, everything that was done, that for all of mankind, through all of humanity, it was nailed to the cross, and it was done. The price was paid through Christ and his blood. And it says in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And so this was what was done. This is the ultimate price that was paid for all of us. And so that leads for us to have that need to come to Christ, to have that need of him in our lives, to help us, to encourage us, to bring people together, to have that kinship in the gospel. That way we could go out, that we could be a little light for somebody else. It says in Ephesians 2:4-7, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." That is the gift. It's the gift of grace. "And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ." And this is something, these riches here that God gives us in our lives, that he brings us together to these heavenly places. He brings our hearts together, our like-mindedness, our desires to serve together. And that's what makes it so awesome, to be able to see how he works within us and to be able to be strong to share that with others. And it was, I'm not going to say. So there was a testimony that was given that was very amusing. But it was my son, and one of the things that it was a very good testimony, and I can hear in my son's voice, in my kid's voice, I can hear in my own voice when they're very nervous. And you know, we had testimony after testimony about being baptized, and it was really interesting because, you know, I was looking at these young individuals that were standing up and giving these testimonies. And I was asking myself, would this have had happened if Rylan wouldn't have gotten baptized? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. And to see these young individuals stand up and glorify God because of what he did in their life to encourage others was so encouraging to me. And one of the other individuals that stood up, he was sitting there and he was holding a mic, and he was saying, "Well, I don't even understand how you folks can talk when you're shaking this bad." And I went up to that individual afterwards and I said, "You know what, young man?" I didn't say young man. I said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that when I come up and I talk for the Lord, that I still shake. I still get I feel weak, I still get nervous, and I still have a hard time. It's something that's good, because you see the power of God and the ability he gives to give you courage in those difficult times." And it's really neat. I did say it was, I'm not gonna share that, Aaron. I'm not gonna share the amusing part. It was hilarious. See, now I got you guys at the edge of on a cliffhanger, but I'll let Connor share that. Oh, it was hilarious. But it was good. You know, and that's one of the things I was telling the campers too, is God has got to have a sense, especially after I did the robot. I said, God has got to have a sense of humor, because he's got me doing this. So hopefully, you know, I think that's a big part too, is it lightens the heart. You know, the light that's brought into the heart brings joy. And, you know, it's good to bring joy and humility upon yourself to show others that there is joy in Christ. But I wanted to get back on track. I apologize. I wanted to read in Romans chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. It says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness." And that's what these young men were doing. They were declaring his righteousness for the remissions of their sins, but it says here in Romans, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And that's one of the things is, I'll finish this out and then I'll speak my comment. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so this forbearance is what I wanted to talk about. And, you know, you get a lot of young individuals together for multiple weeks on very little sleep and with a lot of sugar. And there's like this roller coaster of emotions at time. And it can like, you know, things can happen. And fortunately, nothing blew up at our camp. There was actually some sort of an explosion that we went and all investigated and couldn't figure it out. But what I mean is, you know, emotions run high, especially with lack of sleep and a lot of sugar. And there's a forbearance that I believe and I know and I've seen, and it was proven, of being able to have this ability to understand and have empathy and show compassion, but ultimately to keep things on track for the Lord and to keep that mentality of, hey, we're here together to enjoy the time that the Lord has given us. And it's just, you know, a part of life, human nature. I've talked about this in past, but we are in this together. And if you put Christ first, and you need him and you call upon him, that's what gets us through this. Together with Christ, by grace, you are saved. And it could go start from such a small little thing as mentors, as counselors in training to help develop the minds of individuals in a world that is chaotic, a life, a personal life, a family structure that is chaotic, to see that through Christ, we can do things right, we can change people, and we can see all the benefits and rewards, the richness that comes from that. Because it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he has suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to that, to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And I you know, there's a lot of times even within ourselves as the ministry, the old guys, and the youth, that we have to be this example. And it's one of those things where, you know, you see how God is helping us to be able to be forbearing and to do those things that set the example, just as Christ set the example for us. You know, no guile found in his mouth, not frustrated, not expressing our inner desires, and what needs to be said and what is said are two different things in all of our minds that we continuously battle with. And if we look to Christ and we come to him, we say the right things. We try to do the right things. You know, we're never going to be perfect, but we know that we can be restored through our mistakes that are because of Christ and God in heaven. And that's something that we look forward to. We look forward to all the good things that come through the redemption of Christ, or through the redemption that was put forth for us through Christ. And it builds this confidence. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, begun it in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if this good work has been started within you, we must continue it on. God's light is within us. We made that covenant. If we were baptized, we made that covenant. So we need to be confident in knowing, no matter where we're at, No matter how far we distanced ourselves from Christ, in our minds, in our hearts, that we always have this avenue and we could be confident that we could come back to him, just like the prodigal son, that God does not forget any of us, any of us. We all have this ability to come back through the power of redemption. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know, this is something that, again, as I started earlier, I said that these riches come from heaven. My money can't buy this. My investment in stocks, I can't cash them in and get this. These are the riches that are given through God. Gold and silver can't buy it. And this is the confidence, knowing that whatever the world provides us is nothing like that of which God can provide through his Son. And it says, Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, begun that good work, and you brought that little light in, will perform it until the day. Oh, that's what I just read. I'm sorry. It was up there. Look at that. I did it twice. I need to fix that. Sorry. So Alma chapter 3, 36 and 37. I say unto you, can ye look up to God at this day with a pure heart and clean hands? And I say unto you, can ye look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenance? And this is something that I think about and that I continuously run within my heart as in a self-examination of, where am I at? You know, where am I at in life? But more importantly, where am I at in the eyes of God? Where is he seeing where I'm at? He knows where I'm at. Does he want me to be someplace else? And I put an efforts forth to get there. You know, it's something that I know through Christ, we're no longer bound. I am not stuck in this place of the decisions I make and the decisions I made. It doesn't keep me stuck like a stick in the mud. I can move through the power and be confident of where I'm going to make that change because of what Christ did for us. That's the self-examination. Where am I at? If I feel like I'm stuck, what do I need to do? I need to reach out to God. I need to ask. I need to open my heart. I need to have this transformation within myself to change me into what he wants me to be and where he wants me to go. And no matter what, through the redemption of the blood of Christ, we're never stuck. We're never in a place that is going to bind us forever as long as we reach out to him. He will take us where we need to go. So that's something to look forward to. Plus all of the unseen things that God provides for us in our lives, how it opens our eyes and helps us be able to see the beauty in our journey as we travel along. These are the things, the confidence builders that get us to be able to stand up and to glorify God. And so I hope you do that. You see and you look within yourself where you're at, and you have that desire to continue to press forward, to stand up, and to see how you can glorify God. Because no matter where you're at in your heart, if you feel as if you could be a little light for Christ, you can be this beacon for all those that you come in contact with. So please look forward to good things that Christ can do in your life. No matter where you're at, Christ will bring you where you need to be. He'll bring you, if you have to go to other nations, if you get the opportunity to be a part of camp, Christ and God put those opportunities in place for you. So I pray for each and every one of you, all that are sick. Thank you and for staying home. Yeah. I got to get back to work and back into the world. So here we go. And I do so being revived and knowing that there's always a work to do. So God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for your time.